Welcome to G'day World 317. My name's Cameron Riley. You're on the Podcast Network. Been a little while since I put out a show. Good to be back. The track you're listening to, Who Killed Big Bird? It's by a guy called Barry Adamson. Off the album Stranger on the Sofa. I got it off IOTA Promo Net. Gotta love a bit of Hammond B3, don't you? I'll play the full track at the end of the show. Going to do an interview today with Jeremy Toman. Now, Jeremy's a serious player in the Bay Area. Was involved in the development and the marketing of some consumer electronics products. One you might have heard of, the Slingbox. But the topic of discussion today is his volunteering work. In December last year, I read a post, I think on Scoble's blog, where he talked about the way that Jeremy organised about 25 people to come together at the San Francisco Food Bank, including some pretty high-profile people like Scoble and like Ryan Block from Engadget. And they got together and basically spent a few hours packing boxes of food to be distributed to people who can't afford to buy food, basically, by the food bank. And so anyway, I thought it was a terrific thing to do, and I reached out to Jeremy so we could have a chat. He has registered a domain name, geeksdoinggood.com. As most of you know, I've got geekswhocare.com. So there's a common theme there. I think we both registered them pretty much at the same time. So I got him on to have a chat about the inspiration for what they did, what they got out of it, what they plan to do this year. And it was a great chat. I'm hoping that he and I can do a lot more things together, maybe bring the organisations together and have a trans-Pacific lot of geeks trying to do good in their local communities and learning from each other. So with no further ado, my interview I did this morning with Jeremy Toman. My guest today, Jeremy Toman, major geek in San Francisco area. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, man. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your CV, what you do for a crust, and then we'll get into the geeks doing good stuff.
Sure. So I'm a consumer electronics product development, product marketing guy. I've been at it for about 10 years. Co-founded a company called Mediabolic. We built middleware to build devices similar to Apple TV has today. And we built that for companies like Pioneer, Fujitsu, HP, Creative. I did that through the early 2000s. In 2004, I got recruited to be the first employee over at Sling Media, where I was brought on as VP of products and helped that team build the Slingbox. And then transitioned to a bit of an external role, something that we, you know, basically like an evangelist, where I was chartered to go around the world and help show people what the Slingbox is all about, share that vision, and really build a big community for the company. And I left there in October of 2006 to start my own consulting firm. And now we have a small team here in San Francisco. We help consumer technology companies. Basically, we help them make, you know, better products, help them understand how to market those products with, you know, all the technologies and services out there today, and then even do a little bit of outreach and relationship and influencer PR. So that's the quick version. That's not too boring, hopefully.
And for people who don't know what a Slingbox is, why don't you give them the 15-second overview?
Sure. The Slingbox is a little gizmo that goes in your living room. It hooks up to whatever your TV source is. So if that's over the air or it's a box, whatever you have that you use to watch TV gets hooked up to your Slingbox, which also gets hooked up to your internet connection. And then you can watch your home TV, whatever you have in your living room, you can watch anywhere in the world on your computer as long as you have an internet connection. So I had my box here in San Francisco hooked up to my cable feed. And when I would travel, whether it was Japan or New York, if I pulled out my laptop from my hotel room, I could always watch my hometown channels.
Live or time shifted?
Absolutely live. You know, you'd have about a 6-second delay from real time.
Wow. Does anyone still watch live TV?
You know, I think a couple of people out there still do. But you know, even my mom these days has a TiVo. So you combine a DVR with a Slingbox, and then you really have a pretty great combination of TV viewing.
Awesome. So that's as cool as that is, that's not really the topic for discussion today. The topic for discussion today is something that you helped coordinate in San Francisco late last year, which was getting a bunch of geeks together at a thing called the San Francisco Food Bank. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys did?
Sure. Let me just intro the food bank as a concept so make everything else a little easier. San Francisco, I actually don't know the very origins of it, but basically there's a facility called the Food Bank. They get all the incoming donated food in through major organizations in the city. So grocery stores, supermarkets, as well as individuals. There might be little buckets to donate at an office. Someone's doing a fundraiser or an event at their office, as well as the grocery stores. That, you know, there's a lot of things that they can't sell. Like if a tin gets slightly dented, they're not going to sell it anymore. Up until a few years ago, they would literally throw it out. And the food bank came into being, and it basically collects all that stuff and then distributes it to shelters, to welfare recipients, to people who are in need and can't afford, you know, the high price of food today. And so the food bank supplies literally 500 organizations with food that feeds about 150,000 people in San Francisco.
150,000, what, a week, a day, like on a regular.
Oh, ongoing. I'm 150,000 people get their food via the food bank, which is interesting because San Francisco itself, despite it having such an international, everybody knows San Francisco, it actually only has 750,000 people. So if you do the math pretty easily, one in five of San Francisco is at some level of need. Which is amazing because of all the Silicon Valley wealth and et cetera. But yet it's a very, very there's a lot of homelessness and hunger in San Francisco.
150,000 people don't have enough food to eat, and the rest are billionaires.
Exactly.
Really,
Well, either you have a Cessna jet or you're scrapping for a can of soup.
I'm stunned at the population of. I've spent a lot of time in San Francisco. I'm stunned that the population is that small. I would never have figured that out.
Yeah, apparently it swells to a couple million over the course of a day. There's 10 million in the Bay Area proper.
Right. Okay.
But the city itself, so you know, and part of that, I mean, it's all this big cycle, but basically because the cost of living has shot up so fast over the past 20 years, you've got people moving further and further away. And in fact, at my la when I used to work at Sling, there was a guy who lived in a town called Tracy, which is literally a 90-minute drive in and out of the Bay Area every morning, or every morning, every evening.
That's insane. And so basically you put together a group of people, including, a number of very high profile people in the area, like Scoble. And went down to the food bank and what, basically helped pack boxes? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a variety of tasks. Pretty much, you know, this Safeway is our local supermarket chain here, and they donate hundreds of pounds of food every day, and the food bank relies on volunteers to help out. And what we do is there's, you know, multiple levels of organizing. So you might have a bin with all the raw stuff that was, you know, was donated that day. So it's full of anything from soup to juice to chicken stock, whatever kind of things there's going to be. And so the first pass is to sort that out into different categories. Then there's subcategories. There's a whole long process because at the end of it, it needs to become repackageable in a way where if the food bank is giving to, let's say, a local homeless shelter, the homeless shelter wants, you know, a certain percentage of canned fruit and a certain percentage of soup and a certain percentage of drinking beverages and things like that. And that all has to get organized. And they go through, I don't remember the stats offhand, it's probably on their website, but it's literally tons of food. We sorted something like 3 tons worth of food in 3 hours. So they go through a lot of food there.
That's fantastic. And I guess what I really wanted to talk about is not so much what you guys did, but why you did it and what you got out of the process of doing it. In the blog post that you wrote just after you did this, which I'll link to in the show notes for people listening, you talk about the fact that studies have proven that the accumulation of material goods, while it might give a short burst of satisfaction, really long term doesn't provide any additional happiness. And I've talked a lot on this show over the last couple of years about the fact that you know, in countries like the United States or Australia or England today, a lot of us, particularly people working in IT, have a standard of living that is obscene. I mean, by any historical or, in fact, current international metric, we are so incredibly well off that it's just almost obscene. And yet, in these countries, we have record levels of depression, of suicide, of anxiety, people taking, you know, Prozac and all sorts of things to try and keep their moods up from being depressed, when we should be just reveling in the fact that we live in a practical utopia compared to the way that most people around the world live. And you mentioned in the blog post that volunteering is considered one of the top activities that we can do that directly contributes to our happiness or our feeling of, I don't know, self-worth. Was that your actual experience when you got out and put this together? Did you come out of it feeling that you'd made a difference?
Absolutely. I want to talk about my inspiration in just a sec, but you know, the after the fact, first of all, I had a good time. I was there for, you know, a few hours, and it was a really it wasn't the hardest work I've ever done. It was harder work physically than my typical day job since I'm in marketing. But you know, you walk away and you can really literally just turn around, and because of the way the food bank works, you can actually see the tangible difference you did. And I think that's a nice feeling. You can look back and say, wow, you know, I did that. And then as I really started to think about the day, it was a few hours later when I was home and talking with my wife that I came to this realization, you know, I managed to, through this event we organized, and there were a few people working with me on it, we managed to get 25 people to spend a chunk of their weekend, on average 3 hours each. And it was this really interesting feeling that I the actions I took and others took created 75 hours, man hours, for lack of a better phrase, of goodwill and hard effort to help, you know, each other, help our fellow citizen. And I think that's really what made me feel the best, not just me lifting my arms and picking up stuff and moving stuff around, but that, you know, it's whatever would have happened that Saturday, those people, maybe they would have been at a coffee shop hanging out with their friends. Maybe they still would have been volunteering. I don't know. But it's really nice to see the causal effect that that one can have to actually make a difference. I think, candidly, we live in a time where it's very, very hard to see the effect we have on the world around us. You know, the United States is going through an election right now, and you look at the quantity of people voting, and there's a sense of helplessness. And I think this is one of this was one of those days that helped really make me feel, I guess, a bit more empowered about the world I live in.
Yeah. And what about the people the people that were there with you? What kind of response did you have from them after the event and since then?
Well, I followed up with a bunch of them, and across the board, there was a general feeling of, you know, that they really were proud of how they spent that time, and, you know, they didn't necessarily go into it expecting anything, but just, you know, had agreed to come along and see what it was about. And I told everyone it wasn't really, you know, we weren't going to get all super dirty or get exposed to anything terribly nasty. It was a fairly easy way to get into some volunteering. And a lot of people, you know, thanked me for getting them to come out to do it. Scoble wrote a really, really sweet blog post. I also had Ryan Block, the editor-in-chief of Engadget, Veronica Belmont from Mahalo Daily, and a bunch of other prominent techies from the Bay Area. And it was great that, you know, these are people who are someone's always looking to get their time on something.
Yeah.
And I feel actually really proud that we all spent this time doing non-techie stuff and not geeking out for a few hours.
And, you know, I guess most geeks, and particularly geeks in Silicon Valley, have got, you know, a reasonable income and a reasonable net worth. And one of the ways that we have been conditioned, perhaps, in order to give back, if we are inclined that way, is to write a check to a charity. Did you find that there is a difference between writing a check and actually rolling up your sleeves and going and putting in some, you know, elbow grease?
Absolutely. You know, and my wife and I do contribute to a few charities that we believe in. And, you know, the writing those checks at the end of every year is always a good feeling. But I got to say, you write the check and you send it off and you get the thank you letter, but you still don't necessarily see the tangible results. I'll tell you one, whereas with the day at the food bank, again, turning around, being able to point to something and saying, I did that,
yep,
is an accomplishment. One of the organizations I donated to earlier in the year is called Donors Choose. It's donorschoose.org, if anyone hasn't heard about it. And you basically, it pools community money to buy things for a variety of purposes.
Yeah.
In my case, it was a school program at a low-income school in New York City. And my money contributed towards buying a projector along with, I don't know, 20 or 30 other people. And now that classroom has a projector. And what the teacher did is he had the children in the class write thank you letters. And I have them still here. And that's another one of those things that really I can point to and say that was a really good feeling. You see, these kids wrote these letters. I'm sure they were told they had to do it and everything. But you realize that you touched an individual. And that's also just a really, really rewarding feeling, or it was for me at least.
Yeah. Donorschoose.org. I'm just looking at the site now. I've never heard of that one before. That's fabulous.
It's great. And what's great about it, especially if anyone's listening to this and they're trying to figure out a way to get people active for something or raise some money for something, it leverages the power of community. So the same way that I got 25 people to come out and we spent 75 hours doing something, if you need to raise, say, $3,000 and all the people you know would only give, say, 50, Donors Choose is a way that you could pull them all together to accomplish your goal. And I thought I think that's a pretty great great concept.
So let's talk a little bit about your inspiration. What led you to go and pull this together?
It's a series of events, but the one that's most prominent for me is one of the companies I work with and do consulting for is called Bug Labs, and that's buglabs.net. And the CEO there is a very big believer in contributing back. So as he's doing product and packaging design, trying to use all reusable materials, not just recyclable, but truly reusable products. And every time that the company does an event, like a marketing event, they do a community service event to tie in with it at maybe the day after. And I really got to thinking about that and how great that was, that this little startup that's, you know, everybody's rushing around just to try to accomplish their business goals takes, you know, a day or a half day off at a time to go do these, you know, giving back contributions. And I started thinking about what could I do, because, you know, my team here is only four people and it's not as, you know, we don't have as many people to go and help out and do something. And so I was thinking about one of the things I am good at doing is connecting with others and rallying people to go do something. And I always thought, you know, here'd be a great thing to me to do is, sure, I could go spend every weekend volunteering, but how much more impactful would it be if I can get others, because hopefully those others would get even more, et cetera. So from there, basically, I contacted Ryan Block from Engadget and Robert Scoble, because they are such influential people. And I found a day that would work on both of their schedules, got their early commitments, and then it just went from there.
You have pre-existing relationships with Ryan and Robert?
I do. I've been fortunate enough through the work I do to build some great relationships with some really amazing people here in the Bay Area. A lot of them happen to be fairly visible. The hardest part really was that we were doing it right around the holidays where a lot of people are out of town, because Bay Area has a lot of people who live here who aren't from here. So everybody was out, you know, home with their family somewhere. And we really wanted to use that as the time of year to do something. So, you know, we actually are going to be doing some more events over the course of the year. And, I have a feeling based on the response we have so far, we have over 100 people on our Facebook group already, and that, you know, we haven't done anything all that visible. We haven't sent out a press release or anything. It's just people hearing about it through their friends. So, you know, we're going to see what kind of troops we can rally for future events.
Now, the sort of activity that you did that day wasn't necessarily very geeky, obviously. It was completely low tech. Have you had much thinking around any specific skill sets that geeks have that they could use to contribute something positive?
Well, absolutely. And my consulting company, what we're doing, and we're actually still trying to figure out a good program to get started, is in addition to doing marketing work for consumer startups and technology startups and well-established companies, we're going to be trying to find a couple of nonprofits who we feel could use some help and do some outreach for them, maybe help them with some of the web services they're enabling and help get the word out for them. So that's something that's, you know, where my business skills, I guess, will come more into play with the volunteering work. And that's, It's actually frustrating. It's taken us this long to get a program in place. Believe it or not, we found one organization we wanted to help out, and they had already had so many others offer to help that they didn't need us. So now we have to find, it's a hard balance of finding an organization that could really use marketing help for what they do. So in the meantime, we're going to keep doing these rallying events because hopefully we'll introduce those who can help each other in a more productive manner. But if anybody's listening to this and you've got a nonprofit and you could use some help on marketing or strategic positioning, please, please get in touch. We're looking to help, and just reach out to us. We'll be very responsive.
In one of the great coincidences, as you were doing this and registering domain names like Geeks Doing Good, I had registered Geeks Who Care completely, separately and spontaneously from my own experiences over here in the last couple of years. And we had the first meeting of Geeks Who Care a while back. And one of the things that we decided to explore as a project for us locally is to go into some low socioeconomic housing areas in our towns and look at using our contacts and our tech mojo to get free PCs and build like free mesh networking, Wi-Fi, Meraki style in these areas to try and give the kids or the teenagers living in these housing communities access to the net. Obviously, there's a bit of a gap, a divide between the haves and the have-nots when it comes to access to technology and access to the net. And, I was kind of struggling to try and figure out something that we could do that had value that actually leveraged our geek foo. But it's kind of tricky, and we had a lot of debate around whether or not, that was a good thing to do, or if we should just be, running food vans and distributing food and blankets and, getting down to that level. And I've done a bit of that stuff in the past as well. So I don't know. I'm sort of caught up in my own head around, what the balance is between doing really basic elemental stuff like that, where being a geek really has nothing to do with it, and figuring out how we take our individual particular areas of expertise and use those. I would love to see it where geeks actually are known in their local community as not just the people with the toys, but the people and the people who actually know how to use technology to do good, right?
I completely concur. It's not always the easiest thing to figure out. Another example of something that I kind of have my eye toward these things right now a lot. So at, I had a company party last month, and again, trying to figure out what I could do that would be the most impactful. I reached out to my clients. I got them to each donate some kind of cool prize. And then at the party, we had a raffle. We had all the funds of the raffle go to a charity.
Yeah.
So that was another way that, hopefully, again, anyone listening to this can see an interesting way to tie in, can tie in what they do with a way to reach out to those in need.
So let's get back, just as we wrap up, let's talk a little bit more about motivation. Why do you think it's important for you personally as an individual to get involved in doing, charity, volunteering, whatever you want to call it? What do you get out of it?
I guess I kind of woke up one day. I really can't say there's any particular moment for it, but I woke up one day and really came to this realization of, we're building so much technology. I guess it was started by a friend of mine who made a comment on the Maslow pyramid of needs,
yep.
Which, at the bottom you've got, water, air, water, and food, and then shelter, and then it goes all the way up to this, self-actualization. And you look at the world around us today and you say, well, there's a lot of, we're polluting our air, we're polluting our water, we're eating low quality food, and there's a lot of people without shelter. But then on the other hand, we have really cool iPhones. And you kind of start to wonder, isn't there something that we've done that's maybe a little out of whack, and how can we fix that? And at the end of the day, I still have to make a living, and I've got to be able to send my kids to school one day and all that. But there's got to be some balance where a few hours of my time, a few hours of your time, a few hours of somebody else's time, and maybe we can help, put that pyramid back in order.
Why?
And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with somebody wanting a cool phone. I mean, look, I just bought a new plasma display. Did that help the world? No. Right. Am I a happier guy? I mean, it's a very nice picture, but it doesn't make me more satisfied with who I am as a person. When I compare that to, you know, my fundraiser, like doing the fundraiser at my party, if you ask any of my colleagues or associates, I was on a high for a week. In a couple hours, we raised over $1,000 for a charity, which granted, I'm sure there was somebody in the room who probably could have given that without even blinking. But it was still this really good feeling of like just doing one little extra thing without any hardship. It didn't send anybody back a hard ways. It was almost like an easy way to do things. Now, if I apply that to everything I do, you know, how much can I help contribute? And if I can help get others to think that way, how much can we all contribute? So it's not just money. It's more about the time and thought process of it all.
So you've said that it has made you feel good, and you've talked about, you know, the let's try and, you know, fix the pyramid. But why do we want to fix the pyramid? Why do you want to have people out there contributing?
Well, you know, you look at the world around us and the technology we're living with today, and you say that, first of all, there's obviously digital divides and things like that. Again, there's nothing wrong with this pursuit of technology and pursuit of cool new technology that, you know, whether it's social networking or gadgets or gizmos or whatever it's going to be. But I guess I feel like humanity, maybe it's also because I'm a new father. I don't know. I mean, you look at a baby, right? And unlike most other species on Earth, when a baby comes out, it's helpless. Human baby is helpless. It needs its parents. And there's the phrase, you know, it takes a community to raise a child. And when you start to think about it, what if we look at ourselves as, you know, it takes the community to keep the rest of the community moving forward. And I think that's, I guess, just a mentality that is becoming a bit more innate for me. So I can't tell you if it was the fatherhood that triggered it or whatever it was, but I think we have a social, the same way we have a responsibility as parents towards our children, I think we as humans have a responsibility towards each other. And I guess that's just a conviction I have.
Yeah, you know, I've put a lot of thought into this over the last few years where I've sort of had a major turnaround, I guess, personally. I 5 years ago, I would have considered myself fairly laissez-faire, you know, right-wing capitalist. And whilst I still consider myself, a believer in some of the benefits of capitalism, you know, I also have come to the conclusion that the human race is spiraling out of control, particularly in the West. I mean, we got a lot of great stuff. You know, we got a lot of great medicines, and we've got food coming out of our ears. And generally speaking, we've got a terrific standard of living. But again, there's, you know, we're basically running the human race into the gutter. And if we don't, as you say, if we don't start to take care of the human race, it's not going to be here. I mean, the planet will probably survive long term, but we're on a path of self-destruction. And when I think about these sorts of things now, I think of it not from a bleeding heart liberal perspective. It's more purely selfish motivations for wanting to do this stuff, because I figure if we don't fix these things, if we can continue to have these massive divides, not just internationally, but in our own countries as well, the human race is you know, going to peter out.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I have a lot of similarities in viewpoint. I go back and forth between times of being very optimistic and times of shaking my head, a little bit of concern. I think for the most part, I take an optimistic viewpoint. I believe that we have some problems ahead that we are not yet ready to deal with. I think we're going to see the impact of pollution, bad food, bad water come to bear within a generation, and that will create a whole new series of problems. I guess I like to think that at the end of the day, when we've developed so much technology and when our capacity to perform has reached the level it has, whether it's putting up building a city out of nowhere like is happening all over Asia right now, I like to think that with a few of the right people in the right places, good things will come of that.
And you know, this is gets back to the geeks. You know, I know, you know, a lot of the geeks that I know are some of the smartest, most creative minds that I've met. And I think that it'd be great to see more of those people putting some of their attention and focus into how we solve some of these problems rather than how do I build my startup and sell it to Google next week. You know,
I think that's right. You know, it's, we make the jokes around here at the office a lot is that, you know, we, just like I said earlier about the iPhone, is that, you know, you can have the amount of services on Facebook and Twitter and all these things that are going on, yet, you know, people walk by starving people and don't even blink an eye anymore. And it's a shame that we haven't done anything about it. I like to think of technologists as thought leaders in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So the same way, you know, fashion trends come out of Europe and all, you know, every different food trends come out of like New York City and other places, and technology trends tend to come out of the Bay Area. Hopefully, you know, some of the efforts we're taking out here can help, and things that, you know, you're doing, et cetera. Hopefully that'll have a nice trickle down effect over the long term.
Well, we look to you for continued leadership, Jeremy Toman.
Thank you very much. And, you know, it is a community. And as we've said, we're going to put up a website which will have a list of events and things like that. So, interestingly enough, we'd love to get some help on actually the organization side of things. So anyone who's listening to this, if you're getting inspired and you want to be part of this, please let us know. We don't look at this as a Bay Area only thing. You know, geeksdoinggood.com. You can visit it probably. I think you can even get to it from China still. So, you know, anyone who wants to get in touch, please do. Please help. And or if you just have an event going on, we're going to try to figure out a way to create. Maybe it'll be through upcoming.org or something like that. But we have a lot of good plans in place.
And your blog, Living Digitally?
It's actually just livedigitally.com.
Live digitally, that's right. I'll put a link to that in the show. I'm not getting anything up when I go to Geeks Doing Good. Is there a site up there at the moment? I'm just getting a GoDaddy holding page.
There's not. We have the domain registered. We've got that part hooked up, but we haven't turned on. The one area that we're all terribly lacking in is any kind of design skills. So if anyone listening to this can make a cool logo, we have an interim logo. And
I've got the same thing, man. I mean, I've Geeks Who Care, I just point it to the Facebook group. And a logo that I did in Sketch in about 3 minutes. But, yeah, good stuff. So Live Digitally, Geeks Doing Good, something to be there soon. People should, you know, interested in this stuff, keep an eye on your blog. I'm sure you'll be giving updates there.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for your time, Jeremy.
All right, take care, everybody.